When I was about 14 years old, I asked my uncle, who was a Methodist minister, about the difference in all the different denominations. I went to school with people that went to different churches, and I wanted to know what the distinction was. And he gave me the classic definition of denominations. You can learn from this, I'm sure. He said Baptists were Christians that learned how to bathe, that Methodists were Baptists that learned how to read, that Presbyterians were Methodists that had been to college, and Episcopalians were Presbyterians whose investments turned out well. Yeah. And I'm glad to be here today. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray that you'd be our teacher today, that we would hear your word, and that it would penetrate our hearts, and that we would hear it and respond to it. We pray that the word that we hear would come over, beyond, and in spite of the limitations of a human person. And we ask for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wonder if you heard the scripture reading clearly. Except you eat my body and drink my blood, there is no life in you. You'll hear it again during the liturgy. That's church talk. We don't talk like that when we go to work on Monday morning. If you were to meet at the water cooler with someone tomorrow morning and they said, tell me what you did this weekend, you said, well, I mowed the grass on Saturday morning and I played around the golf Saturday afternoon. And Sunday morning I went to church and I chonked down on the flesh of Jesus and drank some of his blood and, you know, found a lot of life in that. They would report you to the mental health section of your employment. We talk about this kind of stuff, but I wonder if we understand it. What does that mean? It's pretty easy to see why Paul said that the gospel is an affront to the world. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, he said. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. Every Jew would know, if he'd read Leviticus or Deuteronomy, that you don't touch dead creatures. You avoid them. They're unclean. You certainly don't drink blood. In fact, some of the steaks you folks eat are too rare. They're really not copacetic. And the Gentiles were really confused by all of this talk about eating flesh and drinking blood. They accused the early Christians of being cannibals. They said, my goodness, what are you doing? Well, what did he mean? Certainly wasn't literal. Jesus would have been 5'3", 5'5", maybe 100 pounds. 5 quarts of blood. I mean, you don't see John underneath the cross with some sort of a cup trying to catch the drippings of his blood so that they can drink it later on. We're talking symbolic language. We're talking, idiomatic speech. I talk like that myself sometimes. I did that, but it cost me a quarter of my life's blood, I say. Or eat your heart out. We don't mean that literally, we mean it figuratively. And Jesus meant it figuratively. Let me tell you what he meant. He said, I want you to receive this bread and this wine over and over and know that just as the food you eat and the liquid you drink becomes a part of you, I will be in you and you will be in me. And we will be so combined, there will be so much collaboration between us that my energy will be your energy. My life will be your life. In fact, the Eucharist is really a parable about how we live the Christian life. Jesus literally lives in us, and we literally live in him. very difficult to understand, but it's the core of the gospel. Jesus said, I am with you and I am in you. I indwell you. I live inside of you. Peter said it this way, we are partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is in us. Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. Another idiomatic statement. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, Christ is our life. He's not a part of our life. He's not a part of our spiritual life, this little corner of ourselves over here on the side. He is our life, our whole life, the Lord of our life. For me to live, he said, is Christ. Listen to this. You've all heard all your life that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, the glory of God is what we were created to be. And we have defaced that image that we were created in. But Christ in us is the hope of glory. The hope that we will rediscover this person we were created to be. That Christ is formed on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit works on the inside of us to shape us so that we will act and react like Jesus because he lives in us. As a matter of fact, the way we tell the gospel story is sometimes wrong. We sometimes talk about believing in Jesus as though it were an intellectual thing. The New Testament doesn't say that. It says we believe into him. We believe into him so that we become united with him. Let me see if I can explain it this way. If we could assume that this corner is God and this corner is me, most of my life I've thought that, you know, my job as a Christian is to get a little bit closer to him. And so if I pray a little bit, you know, and if I tithe, and if I serve, and if I read the Bible, and I mess up, and so it sort of goes back and forth between, you know, getting closer to him and recession. And my hope has sort of grew up hoping that I would get close enough to kind of get graded on the curve and be included in. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is that I am in him and he is in me. I am in him. My hope of going to heaven, and you'll hear this in the liturgy too, my hope of going to heaven is not that I've been a wonderful person and I've lived a great life. My hope of going to heaven is that when God looks at me, he sees his son because I am in him and he is in me. That is so powerful that when Paul talked about it, he said, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We're a new species. We're something that has never existed before. There's never been a time that a human being was indwelt with God, and somehow that human being was one with God. You say, well, yeah, I don't know about that. Well, that's the gospel. And let me tell you something. We always act consistently with the way we view ourselves. If you tell me how you view yourself, I will predict your behavior every time. So for me to see myself as being united with Christ makes me live differently. If you see yourself as a bad person, as a sinner, you will live that out. But if you see yourself as called to be a saint, as someone who is indwelt with the life of Christ, it is so much different. The problem we have is we lose touch with that. It drains out of us. We live in a world that helps us be so distracted that we forget all about who we are. I was at the Galleria Mall outside in the parking lot the other day, and suddenly I heard a bird sing. And I tried to concentrate on the bird, but I kept losing contact. So many sounds, so many distractions. At the end, you will receive a blessing that will say, may you be aware, may you keep the mind of Christ all week long. Hard to do. I love the story of Pinocchio. Pinocchio was created by a father that had never had a child, and he carved a child and put it on a shelf, painted it, and an angel came along and made it alive. And Pinocchio did pretty well as long as his friend Jiminy Cricket was around. Jiminy Cricket would sit on his shoulder and sort of tell him what to do and what not to do, stay away from that. But, you know, Pinocchio wanted to be a big boy. He wanted to be independent. He didn't want to bother with Jiminy Cricket. And so he would go off on his own and he'd mess up. He'd do all kind of wrong things. It reminds me of me. We sin because we forget who we are and whose we are and who is with us. And who is in us. And we start living our lives independently. And so we have to come stumbling back every week to receive the real presence of Christ again and again and again, so that we refocus on who we are and we learn how to live again. And it's why we come here each week. Incidentally, this is not fast food. Linger with this. Marinate in this. When you sit in the pew before coming here, remember who you are. Refocus on who you are. I'm a member of a club very few people want to join. I've been going to AA for 38 years. I go pretty much to the same meeting every week. It's the same people that are there. Pretty much the same message every week. And someone who wasn't in the program would probably say, how come they keep coming back? I mean, how come, you know, you're not drinking anymore? Why do you do that? Why do you keep coming back? In fact, they keep saying, come back. It works if you work it. Let me tell you why. People keep going to those meetings every week because they know that if they don't, they will die. Because they've seen their friends die, lose their sobriety. They keep coming back to find life. And that's why we come here. Same old folks. You probably sit around the same people every week. Same liturgy, same message. We come here and we remember who we are and remember who's beside us and who's within us and who we're in by grace. So every week we come line up again, we come kneel again and again. We're ambushed by grace.